Go ahead and turn it on. See now, see how you see the thingies going across? That means it's up.
Lisa?
Yep.
You don't have the most recent copy.
Call our meeting in order. It's about 6:33.
6:33.
Irwin Stockgrass at Snodgrass Room. Thought I seen him in here. Irwin Snodgrass in there anyplace? I thought I seen him while ago.
No pass.
No.
He's gone?
Yes, no pass.
Okay. Well, by the end of tonight.
So you put opening prayer, nothing.
Pledge allegiance.
Check them off as you go.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then he's going to ask for the roll call. And you just, John?
John?
Yes.
Don?
Don.
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
On table, I don't know, use table. I'm just not going to do any on the minutes or nothing.
So just cross that out.
We have, let's get our speakers first. We have Brian Savage from Insurance Services.
Yep. I appreciate you having me in this evening. I was out. Was that just last week?
Yeah.
I was out last week, and this was a piece that I wanted to cover. Actually, I'm going to steal one of those from one of you.
You can steal one.
Oh, no, there's two here. Perfect. I counted right. I was out here last week, and this was a piece that I wanted to cover, and the meeting kind of went different directions, and I didn't get an opportunity to cover this, so I requested to come back out. Hopefully, it'll take a couple minutes. So, this is something that we're doing with almost all of our groups, and it's an option. And you as a board can choose to make this available to your members or not. And I want to tell you how this works. Every group, or most groups, have a certain portion of their population that's Medicare eligible. If a group has members that are Medicare eligible, we have a program that we've built over the last few years that is an optional benefit for those who are Medicare eligible. And the way it works is unique. I put a comparison between the two. Our current plan, we use a high deductible health plan, and your township reimburses those costs back to a $0 benefit. So what happens is you pay the premium to the plan, but then you also have the costs of reimbursing all of the claims. Does that make sense? Over and above what premium you pay. This program that we have for those who are on Medicare Part A and B, so we don't know if your members are on Part A and B or not, but if they are on Part A and B, you can make this available to them, and it ends up being a $0 cost all the way down through for the member. And what's nice about it is it limits the amount of exposure or the amount of liability your township has to reimburse their claims. You know, if you were a large city and you had hundreds of people that were Medicare eligible, what's that?
It would save the township.
Yeah, and so if you do choose to do this, and if you look at the cost, it ends up being about, what, $6 or $7 more a month, $6 or $7 more a month. You've got two people that are eligible. If they both opted for this, it would cost you a few bucks more a month. Yeah, four people with their dependents. It would cost you a few bucks more per month. But what I believe it will do is I believe it would reduce the amount of money that you guys are going to spend through your funding account. Now, you still have funding requirements to these members. It shows zero, but what happens in this plan is you'd make funding available for costs that they would have over and above. And this is a different portion of the population. A lot of times when you have these funding pieces, you'll modify the funding a little bit to fit in for what cost they may be experiencing. But overwhelmingly across all of our groups, we'll find that groups fund a whole lot less. So if you can spend a couple bucks more a month, but you reduce your funding by several thousand dollars a year, it's a nice thing. Now, you can't force these members to do that. You just can't tell these members you've got to do this. And it's different, and they might not want to do it. but I wanted to show you the option. The other thing that I'd recommend you do if you want to go this direction, I'd recommend that you touch base real quick with your legal, whether it's your county prosecutor or whether you work with, I don't know if you work with Briggs or Brocious or you work with Don.
Yeah,
so just touch base with them because, I'm not an attorney. I believe this is compliant for groups. I have this with other groups. I know if your group had less than 20, it's a no-brainer. But because your group's over 50 full-time eligible, you just want to make sure that you set it up correctly. I can tell you how I would set it up and how we've set it up with other groups. You don't force a member to do this. You give them the opportunity to do this. You set it up through billing that the township pays for it, but it's structured as a reimbursement to the member. And I just think it's a win for you guys. In the most recent OTA magazine, it specifically talks about what you can and can't do as far as reimbursing members. I believe this falls right in line with what you can do. This is not an individual policy because you cannot reimburse for individual policies. This is a group policy being adopted as a group policy. There's no discrimination because it's available for anyone in your group that's Medicare eligible. And we would be able to put it in place. The members that elect this, if they're eligible and they choose to elect this, it wouldn't change anything with contributions or how you do things at your group. They just wouldn't be on your plan anymore. And realistically, because of the way these coverages work, they're going to use less of those funding dollars because this covers almost everything.
So what happens if we see a different change in the way the health care is going as far as government, et cetera, how is that? We don't even know how that's going to impact it. How hard is it if we have someone that opts to go that way and then all of a sudden some new ruling goes out and the health care tanks a completely different look? Are we able to bring them back in?
Yeah, so this member is always eligible to come back on your plan. And what happens is they do that either in open enrollment or in the event of a qualifying event. So it would be a qualifying event if this program was no longer available for them.
I can jump back in there.
Sorry.
So the qualifying event, I understand that there's a certain period of time. But what about the person that has opted, I'm going to call it opt out to this program versus the other.
Yeah.
So once you opt into utilizing that, you're in that until the next enrollment period, correct?
Or a qualifying event.
Now, a qualified event, explain that.
Well, I think I can list all of them, actually. Birth of a child, death of a child, marriage, divorce, loss of a job, significant change in finances, or a change in the benefits being offered, In this situation, what you're talking about...
If that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. So I believe what you're concerned about would, in fact, be a qualifying event, so they would be able to...
So immediately we could change them back.
Yes.
That's my concern.
So in other words, the employee has to take out B and pay for it.
That's correct.
And then they get reimbursed what... they're paying for me.
Well, you guys will have to choose what you want to do there. And you'll have to talk with your legal on what you want to do there. This program, as quoted, is the cost of the program over and above A and B. A lot of groups, because of the reduced amount of exposure to their funding, will work with that member on their costs. But that you just need to, I'm telling you that when you do this, I don't see any problem in doing that. But I am telling you that that's one you just want to run by legal real quick and just make sure. And I'm willing to do that with you.
I'm just going to say, well, we just let you.
Of course, I'm happy. And I've got I know these guys. And I can make that quick. Hey, on behalf of Franklin Township, this is something I proposed. I believe it'll fly because of these reasons, but can you give your blessing? Right?
Okay. I think you know more about what you're doing than we do.
Let's hope so.
So let's just kind of recap on something here. So basically, if one of the people that would be eligible for this and they would go to Part A, they would do A, we would pay the B. Is a portion of that coming back to the actual employee? How is that working?
Well, what I'm proposing here is specifically this program.
Okay.
If some groups, actually a lot of groups, will work because they like the opportunity of not having the liability of funding claims for these members.
So basically, it's under their Social Security because they're eligible for that.
Because if they're eligible for Part A, they're eligible for Part B. So A comes at no cost to them. So they've already got on. Yeah, it's under Social Security.
What I'm trying to get to, and I'll cut to it, so we can dumb this down for me.
Or me.
Basically, if there is another part that's being picked up, and we're still paying, where's the extra money going? It's almost as if it's being double dipped. Because we're going to be paying the premium for the person, but yet I'm going to call it the government. The government's going to be picking up a portion. So where is the extra money going?
So right now, you pay a premium for like I showed you the members that are eligible for this in your group.
Can I see this?
So you guys pay about $2,000 for these members right now.
Right.
If you just provided this coverage for them and said they've got to pay for B on their own,
right?
It's apples for apples, and you'll probably be saving several thousand dollars per member on the funding. If you go ahead and fund their Part B through whatever manner you want to, if it's a reduction in employee contribution, if it's reimbursement, whatever it might be, you'd still be to the good because of the reduced amount of claims going to the program. Okay. But you've got to choose how you do that.
I understand.
I'm not telling you what to do here, but I will tell you that.
Because we're just talking in circles, and I don't know if anyone behind you is getting it, because I'll be honest, I'm not. Because the questions that I'm asking is, we're looking at two different plans. One that someone's eligible for that they paid in their whole life. If that plan starts to pick up, does the township save if they'd be able to take it? Or where does that extra money magically go? Because if we're still going to pay the premiums for this person, but yet they're also, I'm going to call it the government, because they're eligible, and the government picks up the other part, call it A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever you want, somewhere there's money going somewhere, because why should we pay X amount of dollars and then the government's paying X amount of dollars?
Sure. So I can answer that. Because your members are eligible for benefits here, regardless if they have the opportunity for the federal government to pick up a portion of that or not,
right,
they don't have to do that.
I understand that.
So you have to provide them with the option to take their benefits. These are members that are taking benefits right now.
I understand.
I'm showing you a place where for a similar cost, you can pay a similar cost if they opt for it, and it will reduce your liability on the funding. Right now, they are charging your group for fun. Every time they get prescriptions, every time they go for an office visit, every time they have a procedure, they're submitting for reimbursement, and out of your funding...
Let me put this another way. Jimmy Joe goes that he's eligible, and he goes in. He has a heart attack, and he has to do all this other work.
Yep.
Our rates are based upon how healthy our groups are.
Yep.
So if the government is picking up, I'm calling it the government, is picking up a certain part of that.
Great point.
Then that portion, that helps our rates because we're not necessarily
absolutely
showing that.
When you go to market and get a quote,
correct,
and that member is not on your plan.
So what I was asking earlier, to dumb it down, that's how I was dumbing it down.
Sure, I missed that.
That's okay. So in other words, I was asking, how is it going to benefit the township if we encourage this or we wish to go further with this, and where it's going to help us is later because of the amount of, like a car insurance.
The risk.
The more wrecks you have, the more your insurance go up. The more people use your health insurance.
On average, right. Members who are eligible for
sure.
Medicare.
I got it.
Okay.
In the long run, it could save $20,000-$30,000 a year. Possible.
I would say if I were to give a real projection and not some, you know, huge number, I would say immediately you guys would be saving $3,000 to $4,000 a year.
And that's kind of where I'm looking to try to break it down.
But more importantly, like you said, if we went to market with your group on to see what opportunities are available, you're going to get better quotes in the marketplace.
You're not going to see
that's
what
correct.
The government picked up.
That's correct. And the one thing we just have to make sure of is that we got the blessing of legal on this because, you know, it's not about, it's we just want to make sure we do everything in a compliant state, which we have been always. to this point, I do believe this is compliant. I have lots of other groups that are working, you know, their county prosecutors said, yeah, that's compliant, that'll work. But I just think for your group specifically, when you make a decision, that we should, I should reach out to Briggs or whoever you want me to reach out to and just give their blessing on it. But yeah, I think it's a good thing for the township.
Okay.
On our deductible side for our HRA, we pay at $12,500 per family member.
That's right.
And the people in that category usually end up using $12,500.
Yeah, they more than likely max out.
They're going to max out. So why wouldn't it be $12,500 times four members?
Because they would still, what you normally do with this, because they're opting for this, because of this specific portion of the population, mm-hmm. you'll modify what that HRA will fund, and you'll provide just for a few things that this portion of the population will experience and claims that the normal portion of your population won't experience. That you normally won't max out, but they'll normally still have some HRA claims.
So there still will be some.
There will still be some. You know, it's not out of the ordinary. It's not out, like, I feel like it's strange to talk. I try to have respect for my elders.
Yeah.
But you know, this portion of the population experiences some claims costs that other portions of the population. When you get older, you have some things that go bad that doesn't always go bad on the rest of the population. So we've got a table that we use for this and funding, and I'll present that to you guys when we adopt it.
Okay, so let's say Medicare pays 80% of their bill most of the time. There's a 20% remaining.
Well, this is going to pay almost everything. The couple pieces you might make available for funding are just some things that maybe it wouldn't pick up that are outside of the plan coverages that you know your population's going to experience, that if you're already saving the dollars, you can go ahead and fund, and it's not a big deal.
I think we'll have a few more can be up to this 65.
As they turn 65, and it's available as an option every time. And I'm telling you, it's a portion of the population where if you can have it on a program like this, it's an advantage for you.
Well, you earn the benefits, you may as well use them. If you wish to.
Well, we could make a resolution tonight with the condition
contingent.
That the attorney approves it.
That's right.
What I'd like to do is let him run it by Mr. Griggs, Attorney Griggs.
Yep.
And get a little feedback, make sure we're okay on it. And one of us is going to have a conversation with Griggs to make sure all satisfied.
I understand.
And did you need to move on this right away, or?
I don't have any preference.
Okay.
I wasn't here to put you guys in a jam on making a decision. Right. I was just here to communicate with you.
Okay.
Well, if you want to call Don, and I'll back up on it and call him, see what he got to say on it.
All right. I'll put the call out tomorrow.
Okay. Now I'll call Don. Probably Tuesday or something.
Sure.
In the last meeting, I think it was last meeting, one of the meetings you weren't here, we were talking about, we saw you after we talked about the paper that needed to be signed in order to opt out. And it was a heated discussion. After talking with you after that meeting, we understood why that was. Can you briefly describe that so some of the people in the audience understood what that opt-out?
Absolutely. So, Franklin, I can even do it briefly, I believe.
You might want to turn around so they can, or use the podium if you like.
Do you mind if I just sit right here?
That'd be good.
My name is Brian Savage. I didn't introduce myself. I apologize. Brian Savage with Ohio Insurance Services, and I've been helping with the Township Health Insurance for, 8 years or so?
Yeah.
Going on 9 years. So, Franklin Township, the insurance that they purchased through our agency, we've actually helped them to join in with over 150 other groups around the state of Ohio into a cooperative. And as this cooperative does business, Franklin Township has decisions to make on renewals, decisions to make on contracts, decisions to make on how they manage the relationship. It was initially a 3-year contract with this program, and all of the groups are coming up on the end of their contract. And one of the requirements in the contract is that groups that are leaving the program need to let the cooperative know by July 1st, which I think that was two Saturdays ago, right? Well, the renewal for the program has not yet been given to the members, and in fact, it's being given in the next several days. And so the board, there's a board that controls this, that runs this program, a board of trustees. The board gave members the opportunity to submit a letter of withdrawal before July 1st, but then have 2 months to rescind that, to take it back. And the reason that was important is because if a group chose to leave but didn't tell them by July 1st, there would have been a three-month premium assessment or an extra cost to the group to leave. So we recommended to all of our groups to say you're leaving. Send us a letter, say you're leaving, which we don't want our groups to leave, but it bought them 60 days to make a decision. In case they were to leave later in the year, they wouldn't have wasted a ton of money. When in this situation, probably over 100 grand, right? So it was just to explain what you're talking about, it was good leadership for us to tell you to do that, even though you're not probably withdrawn. Maybe you are, maybe you're not, but it was a good thing to say you're withdrawn to buy yourself 60 days to make a decision that could impact the township substantially. Is that what you wanted me to explain?
That's good.
Does that work for everybody? Okay.
Okay. I still think it would have been better to make a resolution. You wouldn't have to come back, but could we just made a resolution?
Well, I don't tell you how to run your township.
Don
You're
Bruce
still able.
Yeah. Don Bruce doesn't approve okay. it. The resolution wouldn't be in effect.
I have learned a long time ago not to get in the way of politicians.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
One quick thing, Brian. I asked maybe about trying to get a claims run.
For the aggregate, for all of the groups. I didn't do that, and I am able to do that.
Okay.
Let me make a note of
that. Yeah, make a note of that if you would. And maybe give me some idea when we could get that back. We're going to have to be moving on this pretty darn quick, really. And
you're going to have, I'll provide that information as I provide quotes on the renewal.
Okay.
Will that work for you?
That would work.
Because that's part of you making the decision, so I'll just present it at the same time.
Yeah, basically, we've only got 45 days now to make that decision. So.
Yeah. Unless they change something, right?
Unless they change something.
Which I wouldn't be too surprised if they do. I got a little insider info there. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, we have Scott Rogers. We'll talk about the IT program.
He's hiding on you. Hold on, let me get one paper here.
He's the one who sets up all of our computers and make sure that everything's good finished. He backs up all of our computers.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Okay.
I was asked to come in here and present this DVR for you guys. It's what we call a hybrid DVR. Because there's some things that Byron is trying to get done. We got to put a camera out in the back barn. Since there is no cable or anything like that, we can go with a wireless camera. But this DVR does not support that IP. We found out that the other night when I was in here that there's a camera out back that's bad. That needs to get replaced. My suggestion is when you get these analog cameras, we start swapping them out with IP because they're higher definition, better quality cameras. So what the hybrid DVR does, you can run your analog cameras off of it. 16 ports just like you there. But once a camera port goes away, a camera we want to replace with that, we take that port and change it from analog to digital for IP thing.
Would that be... at some time, I see us going to all digital.
Mm-hmm.
So with this system, even though we go from analog over, will this be as crisp as clear as if we had a system that was digital? I mean, sometimes
yes.
when you have a converter, it's not quite.
Yeah, yes, you are right. These support 30 frames per second. This one does. And a full HD by 19 by 20 by 1080. So it's HD camera system.
Right, right. So it should be as good as if we had just a straight non... I mean, you know, anytime you're using something that has a converter,
right,
you lose.
Right.
How much do you think that we would lose compared to having a straight different system, a newer system?
As in IP-wise?
Yes.
You cannot use your old camera?
Well, I understand. I mean, if we was to put a new system in, total new system.
Completely replace?
Right.
You'd have the same that you're going to get with this.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yes, you'd have the same as you were going to do with this.
Because obviously the cost of, for us right now to scrap what we got versus wait till cameras go bad and put new in, this only makes sense.
Right.
But if we was to scrap everything and then put new in, it's going to be the same as where we will be in a couple of years.
Right. So what we're also looking at, and Byron has approached me with this, is a mobile camera system. Okay, what is this? It'll run off of, haven't got the full price on that yet, but where he can go out and put it in front of something and monitor something, which this system will support that. It will record that. But what it is the way we're doing it is we're going to put a solar panel on top with a camera in there with one of the Sierra modems, which transmits back to here, and he'll be able to get to those cameras and watch those.
Okay.
You'd only put a camera like that inside someplace, though, wouldn't you?
You can put it inside, but what the solar panel does is...
That's true.
What the solar panel is going to do for him is, because we don't have to run power out there, it's going to charge a battery during the nighttime because of the night vision cameras. It'll still run it, come back in the morning, and the daylight comes back, it starts charging that battery back.
My concern is stealing it, though.
We have another camera watching that camera.
I'm sure there's ways that we can mount that where it will not get stolen. I mean, we haven't come out up with the whole solution on that, but that also leads into coming with this, that as time goes, that he needs that to go out and do it. But again, it goes with the White House. You know, those VIP cameras, if you want to put cameras over there, this system will support those.
We're already authorized $500 for that house.
Right, but we have nothing on this end to support that.
Now, this is $944.
Yes.
Is there any other cost above this
$944?
Well, just tax, and then probably about an hour of labor.
Okay.
Because what we're going to do is unplug these, pull them back over, put them on.
Now, is there any other cameras we need to purchase on top of this now?
That other one didn't come back up, did it?
No.
Okay.
So we would have that one, the one for the property room out in the barn. Right?
Yes, those two. That one and the property room for the barn.
And we have $500 over there already.
Yeah, I could probably, I'd have to double check and see. I know you already approved the ones over there, but let's see what I can get for there, and these two over here. I may be able to do for the $500 all of them. I just have to go look at the cameras.
Okay. So you need a resolution for this plus labor?
Yes.
So not to exceed
$1,200?
Yeah. Yes.
You got the resolution number?
Yeah, it's resolution number 17212.
What would that be, a $1,200 cost?
Yeah, not to exceed.
Not to exceed $1,200 for digital video recorder.
12 terabytes.
Now, I guess my only question, and I guess it was the cost doesn't...
That would also be with that $1,200 is just for, that's with labor in there too. That's just not for the box itself.
Right, that'll be all built all at one
night. Right, but she was right now. I just want to make sure she understood.
So it's for not.
There's two options to this. The one that you're seeing is a wall mounted box. It can be key locked. Nobody can get into it except for who needs to. Or it can look like the DVR that he has in there that can go right mount into the rack. Either one of those, the price doesn't change.
I think Chief likes the one where you can look up and see it, right?
Well, he's talked about the DVR unit. I would go with the one that can be secured.
The one on the wall then?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, it'll still talk to this where he'll see
that. That's just viewing.
Yeah.
But someone that would want to get in to say, oh my God, they saw me on the property, I need to get to erase it, they wouldn't be able to get in to get it.
Correct. It'll be locked, drives in there,
so
key locked, and everything else.
To purchase security cameras,
a
DVD, is it a DVR?
Digital video recorder.
Right.
16-channel.
16-channel.
4 terabyte.
4 terabyte. Okay, and this is not to exceed $1,200. And then this is where you'll write I need a second, please.
I'll second that.
John is seconding it. And then you call roll.
John.
Yes.
Don.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
So the resolution passes for the time board.
Now that I've got the resolution, we can order and we can have it here probably within a week's time frame.
John.
Okay. And the other cameras also?
Let me research those and put those down. I'll do what I can with the other two and try to get three cameras out of there because we already put in two cameras.
Right. And we could be over on this $1,200.
We could cover all everything right. Between... The 1700.
Right,
yeah, we should be able to cover everything for that, okay. That amount of time.
For the 12.
So we're having two cameras on the outside to secure the doors, anybody from breaking in, and then you're
one on the outside front door that you can see
people who come to the door
upstairs on their computers.
Even though it'll be recording up here, there's also where you can go to open up a web browser and look at it.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you. You don't have to run downstairs.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
No, he's done. And then you can scratch that. We'll
go to resolutions. I think these others need to move down. Wait for the resolutions, your bills and payroll. Bills and payroll.
Hear what you're saying, sorry. Resolution 17-208, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves payroll in the amount of $168,879.01 and bills in the amount of $69,107.28, totaling $237,986.29 from check number 43429. To check number 43581.
Second.
Don, just second, and you didn't have to ask. And then take roll.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
There you go.
I got. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, you're done. Okay, I got some other bills that was laying here. There's one Columbus Sewer and Water.
Sewer bill. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what? Oh, this we called
that's,
about.
It, well, it's, that's going to be on one of the houses. We
right,
take the
and, right. And it was explained,
right.
I think, from John.
What's that?
Any house that we take, we're going to have to start paying sewer, water, electric, telephone.
Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure we were doing it right. Okay. And, yeah, it was for 1820 Eastfield Drive, I do believe. That's I talked to Ralph, not,
have,
I'm sorry, not you.
You probably have a gas and electric, too, there.
Okay, well, right now all we have is this, and then you guys, he said for me to bring it here to...
Let's see, even if you have a gas and electric, unless we completely shut it off, you're going to get a basic bill.
So then we will pay this. So then that goes with your bills. Okay.
We got one here.
That's the one you called last week.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You got from Franklin County for the balance on the tax levy. Police levy?
Yeah. Melissa
need
had originally.
On it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, resolution 123, I believe. 17213.
No, 213.
It's a resolution to pay Franklin County.
213, sweetie.
Yes, 213. 17-213.
To pay Franklin County Board of Elections.
Okay.
It's $3,372.34.
$3,001.
There you go.
And then ask for a second.
Can I have a second, please?
Yes.
John.
Wait, you say John or Don?
John.
Yes.
Don.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you.
So now we have a resolution on here, so we write the resolution on that.
17-213.
So then when you make up the purchase order, that's what it's like. Okay.
And then we got Brocious Johnson Bridge bill. It's going to be a resolution 17213.
Oh, we just did three.
214.
Okay.
I do have a question on it. It talks about partnering with Jed with Grandview. I think it needs to be a board decision who we partner with. So I think we need to have Bruce's here at the next meeting to discuss his Jed and to find out where he's talking about. We don't have a contract with Columbus. The resolution to pay that one area and give you that one as a $5,000.
So you want to wait on this particular bill?
No, go ahead and pay it.
Okay, go ahead and pay it. But Mr. Cook would like to have our attorney here. And Aaron will make a question
on that. Why are we going to have brochures here? You're working on the jet. What do you?
Yeah. We need to understand why we don't have a contract with the City of Columbus. That has nothing to do with the jet.
It was pretty clear why you had.
They sent us a letter.
They sent you. You got the.
Is there an objection of having the attorney out here to find out what's going on?
You got the information.
They refused us.
The
guy basically said, money on attorney to come out and read the same letter to us.
I guess you don't want anybody to know what's going on.
No, I could be more than happy to let him read the same letter.
We didn't know what was going on prior. We do now.
I think we need to have him come out and explain where we're at on the contract.
You got the email, didn't you, Mr. Welch?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
You want to explain something?
Very clear, very explicit.
Let me do this. Let me call on Chief to give us an analysis of where we are, what happened, and what's going on.
What happened was is we met with the City of Columbus, their economic development group. We handed them the contract that we all agreed upon, and we're going to negotiate back and forth to see which direction was the best way to go with this JED. It's kind of like a negotiations. We give them our side, and we're waiting to hear back from them. 4 months went by, so we started hounding them. We called the city, we went down to city council. Mr. Horn went and met with the mayor and said, hey, are you guys actually going to respond to this? Because we're underneath the timeline here. Well, they did respond about 3 weeks later and just said that we're not interested this time.
And they gave our blessing to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Personally, my opinion is how are they allowed to back out? I don't understand that. You know, that was agreed upon contract. I don't know how binding it is. And the question I have is why it wasn't that binding at the time.
Well, that's what I want to find out. You said we don't have a contract. It was
MOU. If you can find out, I'd like to know as well.
Yeah.
We had no binding contract, did we, Mr. Welch?
I have not seen anything.
There was nothing. I know at one time when you guys were talking back and forth and everything, there was supposed to be a memorandum of understanding with the City of Columbus that said, we will honor certain things.
Well, I'm okay to have him come and explain. I'm sorry.
Was it binding? If it was, I haven't seen it.
We're just going on Mr. Brocious's word saying it was more of an MOU.
Exactly.
So I would like more of an explanation.
I would be okay to have...
From a standpoint, not to interrupt you, John, but from a standpoint of Grandview Heights, that was a recommendation made from Mr. Proges himself that we set up a meeting and meet over there with the mayor and city and the city administrator and discuss the possibility of partnering with them.
And we still have
and it's
back
pretty
then.
Simple. And we went and sat through and had an extensive meeting with them. So that is your up to date.
Well, I'd like to have him come out and explain why we don't have a contract with Columbus, why it's called an MOU.
Well, that would be something that you would know. You've been here 12 years.
I thought we had a contract.
Yeah.
John, he was here too. He thought we had a contract. Now we're saying it was an MOU.
Yeah.
We're getting money from the City of Columbus for roughly $30,000 every quarter. Is that going to stop because it's not a contract?
What is an MOU?
There was no discussion on anything like that?
A mutual agreement?
Mutual agreement.
Yeah. Memorandum of understanding is what that is.
Well, I think we need to have him come out here at the next meeting and find out, do we have a contract or what do we have? Is the $30,000 every quarter going to stop?
I think Mr. Cook has a valid point that we spent a lot of money chasing after his jet, a lot of time and a lot of energy.
There was a lot of money spent prior to us getting into this
thing.
I think
he's going to need to be sitting here and explain to the audience of taxpayers' dollar. That's like a doctor saying you had cancer and all of a sudden you find out, 6 months after you didn't die, and you spent your life savings thinking you're going to die, well, how did you make that mistake? I wonder, was there a mistake made? Did you make a memoranda versus, how do you say that? Thank you. Versus an actual contract? Because what I have says it's a contract. So, and he's the gentleman that was doing the full agreement to the from the beginning, from when it went from Delphite to the casino to the city of Columbus. So if he's made a mistake, he needs to own up to it in front of everyone.
I'll talk to him Monday when I talk to him about the insurance.
So, do we second?
You didn't ask for one.
They didn't make a motion. They're just going to do it.
Make a motion to pass resolution 17209.
Don, 5 minutes.
Didn't we just do a fireproof cabinet for the building department?
The one they've got is completely full in there.
Well, I know we got one for the office in here. I know we bought one here a few months ago. They got up the stairs up there.
The cabinets are so small because they're so thick. Yeah.
Okay.
And they fill up fast.
But the one we're asking for is for here.
Yeah.
You need another one for here?
For the building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Resolution 17210, or I'm saying 29. Not to exceed $1,500.
Did you find where Melissa had ordered the last one?
What?
Did you find where Melissa ordered the last one, because she got a good deal on it?
No.
And I can look it up for you if you wish.
I searched out and got three different prices and came up with an average of what it wouldn't cost more than.
What was the highest?
$2,300.
What's the lowest?
You can get them, I want to say used, but
$800?
Mm-hmm. That's why I did this one.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Need a second?
Yes.
I need a second, please.
And we're approving, I second that.
John?
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
I've got a resolution here to clean the offices.
I can, what this is we were paying Aaron overtime to clean the offices, and she comes in on her own time and cleans the office. Instead of paying her overtime, we would pay her $73 every 2 weeks, is it? To come in and deep clean the bathrooms and clean everything, instead of paying her overtime to do that.
Well, it's news to me that we were paying overtime for it, first of all. I mean,
well, that was in a past agreement that she would be able to come in and do that on that.
I never agreed that you paid overtime.
When Melissa was here, you did. All three of you said it was
okay.
Yeah,
did.
Time, come in and clean?
Yes.
Okay,
we did agree to that.
Most of this stuff is people are supposed to clean their own office.
Well, in here, the bathrooms, and et cetera.
And the police department cleans their bathroom.
They don't.
No.
Well,
sorry, I thought that was a question.
Mm-hmm. Did we not have somebody clean the bathrooms?
They were until Melissa had Aaron take it over, yes.
I just don't understand us.
Well, I understand
having to pay
fully.
Cleaning.
I don't know how. There's no comparison.
Because when
well, the amount of
everybody is supposed to clean their own, everybody was supposed to clean their own offices before, and now we're having to pay to have it done.
I guess we take it to a vote.
I guess we're floating in money, folks. Resolution 17210. Pay $73 to clean the offices.
I'll second that.
What is it, $73 for the day or per hour?
$73 for if it takes
just
her
to
3 hours, 4 hours, 1 hour.
And it's every 2 weeks.
Job.
And it's for Aaron.
Every 2 weeks. It says each time, but it's every 2 weeks. It says bi-weekly.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I write it down.
$73 every 2 weeks paid to Aaron. chrome for cleaning. Okay, now you ask for a second.
Second.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Don?
No.
Ralph?
Yes.
Okay, and then that one's done. And you move on to, you'll move on to the next one.
The camera, the camera parts you've been wanting to purchase, give us a little information about it.
Oh, the view for the camera. Todd actually wrote in and got a grant for $1,000, and he needs a new camera. His one he does investigations with and inspections was really this one Gube ordered years ago, and actually to take a photo with it, it was problematic. You had to hold it down, wait 3 seconds, and finally shoot. So after he got the $1,000, him and Mr. Fleshman went down to the camera shop and picked out the best camera, and it came up to that total.
I have already received the check, and it's been deposited into the account.
Yeah, we've already received the check, and there's going to be a $400-something dollar.
$419.
Yes.
Motion to pass resolution 17211.
Second.
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
Road Department, Jim Stevens.
And then this is what you do for the manual, just put Road Department, DEPT, and then you run Jim Stevens.
I didn't really have anything on the agenda for tonight, but there's a couple of things that just some updates I can give you on. Sanitary sewer project update. We are getting into the final stages now where they're going to be starting to do the pavement. They're doing all of the temporary pavement repairs as we speak. Mother Nature really hasn't been on their side. They've been trying to do the best that they can. There was a stretch of storm sewer that stretched from Hague Avenue down to Vera Place on El Paso that had been destroyed, and by both construction companies when they came through there. And through negotiations, I was able to get them to replace with a bigger, better storm sewer system. And they're also going to put in new, where we had small cone drops. And they're actually going to be putting in 12x12 catch basin themselves in that area. But just to let everybody know, it is finally starting to get wrapped up. You should start seeing paving probably, I'd say, within the next 3 weeks. It all depends on what ends up happening with Strouser. They've had Strouser on the hook quite a few times and tried to back him up, but that company is extremely busy, so they're going to be pretty much at the whim of when Strouser can get in there and get started. But that's where we're at. All the pipes on the ground. I think they finished up the last few laterals now. All the pipes in the ground, so hopefully we'll be able to get this project pretty much wrapped up here in the next few weeks. Open.
Okay, I'm going to claim you happy today, or could you? Probably really didn't do any work up there today.
They did. They're using a very quick setting concrete where the water, the rain isn't really going to affect it as much with the mixture. If they were using a wet mix, then it would have been still very wet. But they end up, there's a chemical that they can put in it which would defeat all the extra water coming in. It's a quick set. So yeah, they should have already been past his house now. I did take care of that situation last night, and he did have access to his house. So yeah, that's all taken care of. House Bill 50, that is something that we are working diligently on with mowing over the properties that we've got. Unfortunately, because of Mother Nature, again, for the last, I don't know, 2.5-3 weeks with all the storms and everything we've had, been too wet to mow, plus we've been extremely busy with storm damage and cleanup after storm damage. And with that being said, just in the last 2 weeks, to give everybody a little bit of an insight on where we've been, we've taken over 50 loads to the dump in the last 2 weeks just from all the brush and everything that's been scattered throughout the township. Twice in the last 2 weeks, we have been called out in the middle of the night because of trees that have fallen in the middle of the night. One of them had us out. Mr. Fleshman is out there with us all night. We were out there until about 4:30 in the morning. We got called in about 11. Actually, last night we got called back in for another one. And I honestly believe that there's going to be quite a few more in the near future. We were called out last Friday, right at the end of the day, right at the end of our work day on Friday, over here on Searles. We had half of a tree come down, go completely across the road, over into some people's yards. Fortunately, it didn't damage any vehicles like the one it did up on El Paso. Yeah. There is part of that tree still standing. It sits right on the line of our right-of-way line. This part of the parts of the trees that had fallen and went across the road, we had to take care of because it was across our roadway. Those parts of the trees, and it was one of these monster trees that comes up and goes into three, some similar like what we had up on El Paso. This just had an extra one. The one that is still standing today is in our right-of-way, and it's doesn't have a whole lot left that's going to hold it up there. It's in danger of falling. If this one falls, it will reach clean across the road and actually go into two houses.
Yeah, we might as well take it down.
And that's what I wanted to bring to the board's attention is I would like to get a hold of the people that we work with on that, get a quote. I'll bring it back to the board. But it would be my suggestion just to keep from having another issue, we get this one taken down too.
You know, while you're out, you might be checking, I know you do, but you kind of keep an eye on some of the other areas, and maybe we might have to do some preventative cutting down.
We did that 4 years ago. We did that. We took 11 trees down in one day. Mm-hmm. We do have other ones that at that time that were not in a hindrance of falling and making any problems, but now they're starting to get in their ash trees, and unfortunately an ash tree can change within a year.
Right.
So we do have that. It's something we have been watching as we're out on the road watching these trees. We do have a list, and I will get with Jeff and, you know, have him work sub prices. And if the board needs any other prices from other people, we can. But I will work on that list. But the one, my main concern right now is the one on Searles. I think it needs to be done. Jeff wasn't able to get out there from Grove City Tree, who's a company that we've used. He's been extremely good to us. Even when we got all the other bids from everybody before, he was always the one that came in lower, and we worked with him real well. But I'll have Jeff. He couldn't get out there before this meeting and get us any kind of a price on what it cost to take it.
He did a really good job coming out there 7:30 in the morning after we were out there till 4.
Yeah, he did.
He kind of surveyed that, even though he couldn't do it that day.
Well, it worked out into our favor, too, because it ended up not costing the township anything because the electric company was able to do what they needed to do and have Asplum come in and take it.
Did they take it all the way down?
Asplum come in and they took it all the way down to where it was probably about, I'm going to say, maybe at the most 17, 18-foot stump.
Okay.
And then Elite Excavation, who's putting this storm system in for us up on El Paso, it happened to be in their way, and they contacted me. We told them that we would come in, which would have been this past Monday. We would drop the tree, and then they were going to use their track hook to remove the stump. They got back in touch with me on Friday afternoon and said they'll just take care of the whole thing, so I backed away from it. I let them do it. It's in their way. They took care of it, and it's no longer an issue.
So we shall wait.
But with that being said, with everything that's been going on, our House Bill 50, our high grasses, I'm sure people are seeing we got high grass at the township. We were back out yesterday, went two different directions, and redid our list. I got letters in to Aaron. We've got a whole new swap of letters going out. I'm hoping that things can dry up, and that's what we will be addressing the House Bill 50 properties very diligently. We've got some that have timed out that we can get on to, and we'll hopefully get caught up on that. With that being said, we ran into an issue the last two times, and Don, I know you and I have talked about this on a couple different occasions. When we get called out at night, which we did go out and get the handheld spotlights, both times we've been called out now, our handheld spotlights, as we call them, work safety lights, have burned out, and then we're in a mess. Last night we had to pull off the project last night and just get everything pushed off the side of the road because we no longer had safe lighting to work with. I did a little bit of research on it. There is an option that we can do, and I feel just as a safety aspect of something that we need to look into possibly doing. And they have them and they mount them. They are cab-mounted work lights. They're LEDs. This one here, unfortunately, the one that I just printed off is not the LED.
Well, see, how about a magnet?
These go down. These are suction cup types, and they have a, instead of drilling a hole through the cab and running wiring and everything through it, it's remote control from inside, battery powered remote control, so we're not actually causing another hole in the top of the cab.
Right, if you get another truck, you take it with you.
Do you have another one? No, I wish I did.
Shame on you.
How many do we need?
I would personally, the way, like the situation we got into when we were up, the big problem we had was up in El Paso. We needed to be on both sides of the tree. I would like to be able to get two of these and have them mounted on two different trucks. That way we can be on both sides.
You're not going to mount them on the truck and drive every day on the truck, are you?
I'm sorry?
You're not going to mount them on the truck to drive every day. You're just when you need it, right?
Depending on how the mounting system works on it, correct?
Well, I'm saying if it's suction.
If it's suction or magnetic, it'll come off. It'll come off. It'll go in the toolbox, and then when we need it, we'll put it off.
Put it up when you need it.
What's it powered by? Battery?
It says 12 volt, which makes me think.
You can just plug in a.
Like it's got a cord that comes off of it. There's many options. I just threw something, just kind of give you an option of what I'm looking at. If we get into a situation, and I've seen them over at Kaufenbarger's when they built this last truck, I was looking at them then, just being inquisitive. It's a permanent mount light.
Right.
Why don't you think about getting one first, make sure what it is?
Well, I would like to do it. I'd like to look into it and see. But just to let the board know, I would like to get it set up on two trucks.
I'll get the one. I'm just saying, why don't you just try one, see what it looks like, make sure it's what you want.
Okay. But it's just something that I think, the safety of my men, I made a decision last night to come off of that one because it was getting to the point where we were up inside. We no longer had the lighting that we needed.
Well, like I say, I know I've been out on a couple of music.
The one down on Big Run was, yeah. But we got the handheld spotlights, but unfortunately when they go out, you might as well just light a lighter and look.
Well, my thoughts are get your one and make sure it's what you want.
Okay. I'll keep shopping around on it, too.
And then if it's what you want, get another.
Sure. Okay. I appreciate that.
Can you give that to Erin so she can put it with the minute, please?
But now, Erin, that's not exactly the same one. Just an idea. I just wanted to bring to their attention.
Okay.
Do we need a resolution for that? Do we need
to? It's going to be below resolution amount, so we should.
Do they need to buy that up? Any services up off of 71 or have that?
Well, they do have some, and that's what I mean. I've got Kaufenbarger, I've got East Truck Body, I've got Safety Solutions up off of 71. It really came to light last night when we're out after midnight and. It's a safety issue, and if I see that these guys are in a safety problem, we're coming off of it. I don't care if we have to shut the road down until the next day.
Well, let's say get you one, try it.
There's a question on the
other. Other than that, that's all I have.
It'll be mounted where you don't have to stand and hold.
Well, we understand that, and it's got a remote control.
Yeah, this actually has a remote control that you can rotate it up and down and around. That's all I have.
It does say a permanent.
They have permanent mount, they have magnetic mount. But now, with a magnetic mount, it would be a lot like having something where it has the cord that comes down through your window and plugs into a 12 volt access.
Okay, any questions for the road department? Robin.
Yes. My neighbor at 3351. Which got the water problem from 3379.
We were out looking at that today.
Did you go out? Because she texted me and said nobody came out.
Oh, we were out there today. Actually, we let Mr. Fleshman know we were out there today. We're trying to figure out what it is possibly from a township standpoint we're actually going to be able to do.
Okay.
Hate to say that there's a possibility there may not be.
Even though he's dug the trench to make it come in her yard?
It's in his property and it becomes a civil issue at that point.
Yeah, but between that's going to be civil.
So what's the problem when his water, this is where it comes to become a my problem, is because in the water he's made a man-made ditch into her yard, which now forces the water into her yard, which then forces the water into my yard, which then forces the water into that little ditch I've made that goes to the storm drain. But the house that's on my east side, it sits flat on the ground. If my water that's in my yard goes into that man's house, then who's liable?
I'm not an attorney.
I'm just saying, because that's why I'm trying to be
well,
proactive.
Well, I don't believe the township would be, because
it's
not a township.
Would I be?
I can summarize this. From a township standpoint, anytime there's a water issue, if the water issue is originated from water runoff off of our roadway, and we can prove it's coming off of our roadway, then it becomes our responsibility. In the situation that I seen when I was up there, you have the trickle effect from higher elevations to lower elevations to lower elevations where water does kind of run.
That happened up at the
So somebody's making a trench from this property to this one, then from this one to this one. It's not, I'm not blowing it off by no means. I just know my legalities on what I can and can't do. Mm-hmm. I can't, I'd love to be able to rectify the problem, but there's just not a whole lot I can do. But yeah. We'll
keep
looking into it.
I mean, the thing is, I've made a trench out to the storm drain as a good neighbor. You know, trying to be a good neighbor to keep the water from going into my neighbor's yard.
Well, we have the drain. We have the drain that sits right in front of your house that we've redone a couple different times. When the water comes from the back of the properties and it comes into your backyard, it channels itself under your fence right out to that drain. And what we have found, and it just something that happens throughout the township, once these drains get covered up with debris after it's flowed from yard to yard to yard to yard to yard, then it gets covered up. And then everything's going to back up at that point. I don't know whether or not we could come in and put a bigger drain, although when you go and you put a bigger drain and you're still got a small pipe coming out of it, you're defeating the purpose you're kind of not going to.
I mean, I understand, but my neighbor to the east, you know, when I was a little kid, we didn't have that trench in my yard. And those people had a squeegee, and they would squeege the water from my yard out of their front room, living room. These are new people that live over there now.
It's the nature of the beast, and you know I'm sure even Ron can concur with that. It's just the way that the things stair step and come down. It's not in our roadway. It's not in our right of way. It becomes, unfortunately, a civil issue between neighbor to neighbor to neighbor, and you just need to dig a trench to your neighbor's yard and just keep it going.
I guess I can look and see if she's got a drain close by her, and I could share getting a ditch witch and we could drain out.
Yeah.
You know, because my concern is we know that neighbor John, he's not going to want to cooperate and do anything.
He hasn't.
Never. He doesn't even want to mow his grass half the time. You know, and because he's got raw sewage and stuff in his yard too, it's all just flowing through.
Well, I'm hoping that the raw sewage issue is going to be rectified here.
Well, he has to be required to tap in. Well, he'll be the last to do
and
that.
And the raw sewage issues that we've had up in that area will go away, I hope.
Yeah, I think to a large percentage it will. But with his coming through her yard, coming through my yard.
If you can let your neighbor know that we were up there today, because we were up in there, and then I reported back to John, who called me after I got your text message.
Sure.
Even. Sorry, I didn't
clearly. It's kind of like what we got the house up there behind the CVS that sits low. Been flooded. The garages we got over in Broad Lawn, we got several garages.
We've got it in quite a few places.
And you can look at the garages and the fronts of their yards. Their garages is lower than their front yard.
Yeah, we had the same problem being on the Hague. All the water was coming down through the backyard, and I mean, it was up to here, and it was like we were walking in a stream. Mm-hmm. The very last lady on Hague, which was then Lowell Drive, she called and said we were making a watershed on her property because she had a slab and it was going in her house. The county came out and they said, ma'am, this is act of God. They can't look at the water. It's clear up there. It's right. Just we can't stop nature.
Unfortunately, when you get the rains that we've had for the last week and a half, going on 2 weeks, and the ground is saturated, we chased our tail for the last 2 days trying to get other things done, and we had flooding everywhere. When you get that much rain at one time in a short period of time, and the ground being as saturated as it is, I don't care what storm system you got, it'll never keep up.
No, I understand. I just want to make sure I go back to her with
Just definitely let her know. We looked into it.
Yeah, because she doesn't like the neighbor either, and she figured if you guys went over and like talked to him, that maybe he would be kind enough.
I don't know. I don't know what I could do by going
my
to the
neighbors.
I know.
The Franklin County.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to make sure you guys have been there. She's texting me all this craziness, and so I'm like, settle down.
Let her know we've been there. I mean, we're doing the best we can with what we can legally do.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm just concerned about my neighbor on the east side that he doesn't get
any. Okay. Any other questions?
I got it. Hey, Jim, over in front of my house, I'm not sure if what they replaced, I'm at 1855 Rehnsburg, what they replaced, the most recent thing they replaced, but the front of my property is starting to, the road is starting to collapse. Oh, you already know about it? Have you seen it?
What's his address?
It's right by the area where all the gravel was installed in that area.
What?
Rehnsburg.
Rehnsburg.
Yeah, I mean, it's my front yard. And I try to keep my kids from parking on as much as I can, or people that come. And the other thing, and this is basically from the neighbors, and the neighborhood wanted me to ask, at the end of Geneva, that field that's owned by the electric company, they went in there and cleaned that field off, scraped it down, took all the natural environment away from it, and now it's up, we're overgrown, we have problems with rodents, we have problems with people going back in there. There's two semi-trailers with graffiti painted all over them that you can actually see every time you go up and down 3C Highway. And from last week's meeting, or not last week's, but the last meeting, I heard you guys talking about trailers and different things like that. Is there anything that can be done with that? Those people being made to bring that property?
I'm not so sure that whole property down in there sits in the city.
Oh, is that right?
I think it does. I think the backside of that property sits in the city.
I believe it does.
One of the things that you can do as a resident from a landline, you can dial 311 pound,
which is a city number,
and you can report it. They're really pretty good about coming out and enforcing. You know, if there's an issue going on with property.
I'll double check into that, and the main reason why I say that is when they came back in and they clear cut that entire property, they did not contact us because they didn't feel that they needed to because it's not township. I understand your grief on it because we have a lot of people call. Everybody at each dead end is calling us on a regular basis about that field.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people know that I'm trying to get involved in stuff, and I keep getting it too. So I just try to bring on people's concerns.
You got my number. You feel free to call me.
Yeah. I'll let them know then.
Okay. Any other questions? Police Department.
Okay. And that's Chief Smith.
The only thing I have is I had a complaint from Mary about the vacant house next to her on Brown Road. Apparently we have people squatting or hanging out in there. So we'll be addressing that.
I've been having that for years.
Yeah, it's ongoing.
Don't the bank.
I know. So we can't get the bank to really do anything. So we just go in, chase them out. I don't know if we have a trespass letter from the bank. I don't think we do.
I don't think one's ever been brought in.
No. So we pretty much chase them out. So we're going to address that again. But other than that, that's all I
have. They put a lock on it once. Is it locked now?
No, it's open again.
They kick the locks off. They get in. Garage and the house. Okay. I didn't know there was power in there until yesterday.
Oh, the rest?
Last night, there was a light on in the kitchen.
No, I didn't either.
It must shine into the bathroom.
Wow. Someone's paying the bill.
Unless
up.
They have maybe those lanterns that are batteries. They put out a lot of light.
The neighbor.
or if they got a battery light in there.
Generator, small generator.
Yeah, she would have probably heard the generator. Mm. So anyway, we're going to address that and see what we can do to help her out.
Okay. Any questions, please, department?
Ma'am?
Just about National Night Out. In our meeting, you were talking about giving away, raffle them out. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you suggested maybe we could take the raffle tickets and staple them to the bags. Mm-hmm. We'll be willing to do that, but we need to have them by Wednesday.
Okay.
Next week.
Okay.
Only because we're going to be putting things in the kids' bags and the adult bags and things.
Do we have a general idea how many bags are you going to make?
200 normally we try to.
Okay.
That's for the children.
Yeah.
And well, we talked about the adults putting on the envelopes that we pass out.
Right.
So if you want us to do those too.
We're only doing the children.
Okay. Just raffle tickets for the children.
Correct.
Okay. So we just need
by next Wednesday.
Yeah, so we can staple them onto the bags when we do them.
Okay.
And another thing, on the list that we had, the big board, A lot of those numbers were given the township number, mm-hmm. 9411, that, or is it, that's it. But, and I don't know, we can't get a hold of those people for volunteers.
Okay.
So if you know who they are, I know some of them are Aaron and her yeah. family, and some of them were Melissa's. If we could get a hold of some of those people and let them know, because okay. I have no other way of getting a hold of them.
Yeah.
So maybe Melissa might know the ones that has the township number. I mean, Aaron right. might know.
I think the only ones that listed the township number might have been Aaron and maybe Ron. Was there? Do you have your list with you by chance?
I don't have. I should have brought it. That's the only thing I didn't bring.
Okay. But no, I'll get with you and make sure you have their information.
And also, anybody that's volunteering that's in here, we're going to have a meeting on July the 24th at 6 o'clock at the church. Mm-hmm. So anybody that, like I said, is volunteering and wants to help out, that'll be our meeting on the 24th at 6 o'clock at the church.
Is that the one we preset from the last meeting?
Central Baptist. Yeah, Central Baptist.
We already Central set that there, right?
No, we just, Juanita and I just talked about it since we talked to you, okay. but I'll let everyone know, and we've also got the okay from Pastor Womack
okay.
to use the church.
Okay.
So and that's why I said anybody else that we don't have the numbers for, okay. anybody that signed up that we had telephone numbers, we'll be willing to call those people.
Okay.
But anybody that put the township number down, we have no way of getting a hold of those people.
Yeah, if you just get with Aaron on those names, then we'll make sure that yeah. they're contacted.
And well, thank you, John. I know you talked to Pastor Womack about the tables.
Yeah, I was going to jump in there.
Okay.
Like, I think, because I know I was like, how many do we need? We didn't know. I think there's somewhere around 12 tables or something. Would that be enough? And I know you don't
well,
know.
Well, we went through it today or yesterday, and we figured out we may need a couple more tables. So we may need like 14 because okay. there's somebody else that's going to be a guest that needs it. We don't know if
I'm they'll sure want for
music, you know. There's mm-hmm. there's a couple of questions. Well, we need anything between 12 and 14. And so he said that Pastor Womack said they have at least 12 that we could use.
Right, right, because I did check on that. And I know we can bring some from here
yeah,
so that we make sure we have enough.
Yeah.
For us to bring four is a lot easier than us to bring 14.
Yeah, I probably would only need two in the township then, if he's got 12, because at the most we need just 14.
Well, it's just as easy as us to bring four than two, just in case. I'd rather have a couple more than not have them.
Right.
I can't do
it.
That's all I have. Okay. I got something. Sir, a month ago I attended my first meeting and I brought up to you about the speed and different things on Randsburg, and you have addressed it. I want to say that I have seen visual of them being up and down the street and everything, but after attending two meetings now, this is my third one, I feel like what seems to drive things at these meetings is money. So my question is to the board, if I'm willing to donate money to the board, and like, this won't work if you call it like rent an officer or whatever, but I personally donate, write a check to the board to give you funds so you can put an officer on that street. I'm telling you now, if you put an officer on that street, you're going to turn speeding tickets at a big rate, and it means that much to me. I personally pulled my grandson from being out there. It's just that much.
I don't think we should be doing that. I think we need. Is there anything more that we can do down there?
Well, I want you to know that I do feel he's tried. Him and I've got together. Yeah. I'm going to try to start a block watch and stuff like that. But his answer was the last time when I said, "Well, I voted for the police to come on." He said they haven't all come on. But I mean, I just need to get something done about it. Someone,
I need his.
It's not just my grandson now.
I understand.
Okay. Sir, can I have your name for the record?
Sorry, Mike Blevins, B-L-E-V-I-N-S.
Yeah, we've been trying. It's difficult when you're still not fully staffed.
Thank you, sir.
We've had officers in the area as much as we can.
He is from 18.
We're still addressing it. We've also got the homeless issue in Broad Lawn, which is a never-ending complaint.
Right. Yeah. Does it help what forms put out?
No. Well, that come from the Supreme Court before it went to Columbus. Columbus is no longer enforcing panhandler laws.
Right.
The Supreme Court made a decision that's
a freedom of speech. I don't know how they connected those dots, but...
I think a lot of places had already done that in the past.
Yeah.
Areas.
There are other things we could charge them with, but it's a lot more difficult. So it's becoming a never-ending issue. I've reached out to Jennifer for clarification on that, and also to see if there's something we can do as a township to initiate an ordinance that would be effective. I don't know if we can or not. We are trying to get more cars.
There's also some discussion on that leaving them alone type thing that the Supreme Court did. And
right. Yeah, that's definitely not the answer to our problem.
That's going to be a hard one to...
Well, when you got one on every corner.
Well, that's one of the things about Jerry. Come back, you have to see him do something.
Right. So that's a big issue, and then we have the drug houses. That's another big issue, and it's difficult to manage all that when you got maybe two or three guys on the street taking other calls too. But we are going to try to put more cars on Randsburg as well as everywhere else. But summer is a busy season for us.
So. Yeah, Tony. Every time I talk to them down that way. It's the Jackson Road deal, too.
Right, and then Jackson Road around the first of the month.
Yeah. Let's see if this works out first, because I really hate to see an individual write a check. And I'm not even sure you legally could do it on our end of it.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say it, and I'm willing to do it.
Well, that's the first time I ever recall somebody going to put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, you know.
Well, like I said, I've lived there 55 years. I mean, as a child, my parents owned it, then my parents passed, and I went back. It's a 55-year-old problem.
Yeah, I know it
right.
is.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it is the reason I think you'll get some resolution, if you can just set someone on there for, an hour or two a day or whatever you can do. I hate to say this, but a lot of it's my own neighbors.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to put speed anywhere
I'll get the sheriff to do a couple of them.
Or not.
Mm-hmm.
To
sit down there a little bit. And I know they do on Climb Road once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's the officer's initiative. I can reach out and ask.
I mean, I just feel terrible if some kid gets killed.
I'd like to get the speed sign off to see who I need to contact for traffic to see if we can't use that.
But like I say, they set on Climb Road. State Highway Patrol sets on Climb Road, too.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And you're not the only neighborhood, Mike, that has that problem.
Oh, no, there's a lot of them.
And the other neighborhoods are like yours. They're neighbors. A lot of them are.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm to the point now, I saw on Facebook yesterday, a guy made a sign. They hit his dog. Maybe someone saw it, maybe they didn't. He posted the sign, "You hit my dog this time,
yeah.
And I'm burying my dog today, but if you hit my kid, I'm going to bury you tomorrow."
Yeah.
And I'm to that point where, and I know, I told you, I remember 55 years ago, my dad and a man standing out in the middle of the road fighting, fist fight. I remember it.
Yeah.
And you said, "Let you handle it." And I do believe he's trying. He can only do just so much.
That's true.
There's other avenues. Like I said, I'm willing to write it today.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get something worked out.
Okay.
Anything else for the police department? Okay. Party department.
Good evening, all. Chief Welch already went. Sorry, good to go. Real quick, run numbers for June. We did 817 runs, 653 of those were EMS, 164 fire runs. As you know, the opiate crisis has hit our, and I know Robin and I spoke about this, is extremely heavy. Just last month alone, in June, we had 37 overdoses that our guys took care of.
37?
So that just adds to the run numbers, but that's neither here nor there. We're dealing with that. Speaking of that, I know I spoke, we've got free Narcan for Frank County Public Health for a while. That funding dried up. I'm actually working with Joe, who came in here and spoke with us last month. Hopefully we get some funding in for that starting next month. We're first on the docket because of our unfortunate opiate crisis that we have here. So Franklin Township is first on the docket to get some free Narcan again, because once again, we're back up to paying $45 a dose for that. So where we were getting it for free for a year, which was excellent for us. Speaking of free money, Had some pretty good luck with grants here as of late. We talked earlier, I assisted Captain Breaker with that grant for $1,000. That was nice. I just got a grant for $3,000 from the state of Ohio. We're going to use that towards a cot for a new medic. That'll pretty much take away half the cost of a cot. We actually, Chief Welch and I looked at a used cot, which actually pay for most of it, if that works out. I just got an email tonight. Marathon Petroleum is going to give me $800 towards a nozzle for the fire truck that I requested. But we're probably, that those nozzles cost about anywhere between $1,500 and $3,000, but they're willing to chip in $800. So that's $800 of free money I got this week. Pretty happy about that. The big one I worked with, I've been working with a friend at Columbus Fire. Steve Stoltzman used to be in charge of the bomb squad. We got in contact with Steve. CFD just changed over all their SCBAs, and which is what we wear in the fires, their breathing apparatus, what we wear. They update theirs obviously a lot more often than we do. Ours are 10 years old. They had their used ones, and after we spoke, I got the pick of the litter on their older ones. So I received 12 of those SCBAs from the City of Columbus, 42 voice amps, 42 masks that we wear. If you buy all that stuff new, I don't even have, I depreciate the value for a 10-year-old for how old the stuff is, and it's actually still $52,000 worth of equipment that I got this week from the City of Columbus just by talking to them. So hopefully we'll get to use all that, and you know, it just helps us out. It's not going to really replace, we have some stuff that's so bad it can kind of replace that, kind of tide us over until we get some funding for new air packs, but hey, it's $52,000 worth of free stuff. I'll take it. So, do you want all that? And that's all I have. Anything for me?
Any questions for
you? Thanks.
Yes.
It helps.
I had this question before. Yeah. And other places where no one could answer me. Aren't we inviting these kids to keep taking drugs when we go to saving our lives every time?
So that's the biggest moral dilemma in all the land, right? But we have a duty to act, and that's our job. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. That's our job, and that's the oath we took.
Yeah, so, but I'm just speaking, not against you. But
I know,
I
get it.
Do you understand?
We 100% understand, and it's a much bigger problem than us bringing people back. It goes to treatment. It goes well beyond EMS, fire department, even the hospital. It comes down to mental health treatment and stuff like that. It's such a problem now that it's every aspect of our government is dealing with it. I mean, it's all the way up at the federal level. This is not just a Franklin Township, a City of Columbus, a state of Ohio. This is a national epidemic. And I don't see it ending anytime soon. And that's the honest truth. Just in the last 2 years, we actually just did run numbers for our medical director today. And 2 years ago, in an entire year, well, 6 months, we had 45. I think it was 45.
Still in the count, but yeah.
Yeah, so from October 15 to March 16, we only have 45 overdoses, okay? So we just had 37 last month. So if that just gives you an idea, I mean, the main part of the story is yes, there's a bigger problem than us just keeping people in Narcan and bringing them back, right? But we still, when we go, you know, that's what we do.
I understand that, but I was just wondering.
I wish there was an answer to you know, nobody can answer your question. You could go all the way to D.C. and they're going to look at you and say, I don't know, there's a huge problem, we got to fix it. So, you're right, and everybody's doing the best they can.
If you don't know what the problem is, how you going to fix it?
And you know, we actually have a City of Columbus put together a thing called a REACT team that we have ability to use now. And what that is if we go on an overdose, we call this REACT team, and it's a firefighter, for some reason, and two social workers that will meet you at the hospital, and they're trying to get these people into treatment instead of them leaving the hospital. 80% of people that we take to the hospital leave AMA, which means against medical advice. That means they wake up, you know, we wake them up, then they wake up enough to be lucid, and they're out the door. And then, you know, we buy heroin 5 minutes later. So even, it's a very small percentage, but at least with these REACT teams, they've seen a 20% rate of people coming to treatment. Which I know 20% is nothing, but that's better than 0%.
Exactly.
So that's a start, but it's a tiny little start. Unfortunately, fire department-wise, we aren't in the business. If we find somebody that's not breathing, we fix that. And then we take them to the hospital, and then the hospital has to kind of move on. How do we get these people treatment? But they're busy too, right? They're in the ER. They've got people having heart attacks and people with blood sugar problems. So then it gets into social work, and then it's more on the patient, and that's where the ball gets dropped, right? These people are unfortunately have a disease. they're addicted, they're going to go find a $5 high, and then they're going to see us again real quick. So I wish I had a better answer for you.
It's sad. It's just sad.
Anything else?
Any other questions?
I had just a quick comment. We had up in, the Western Hills, I guess.
Oh, on Deer Hill, sure.
They had their block party up there, and of course the fire and Jim and the police, Byron, all of them attends that. Anyway, I just wanted to make a compliment, you guys on the job, you know, the fire department on the job you did with that little smokehouse thing. The ones, the residents that haven't seen it yet, that was my first time to see it too, by the way.
Did you get out
and these guys took this old thing, it's really old, and made something that looks really pretty out of it. And I just wanted to commend you guys on the job you did, clean that thing up and everything. And I think the children that we had really seemed to enjoy that.
This is our second time we had to use it, and obviously we'll have it at the National Night. Everybody gets a chance to see it. But it's an educational tool. It's an old RV. And now we fill it with smoke. We teach kids how to walk through the smoke. And it's got a door they touch, and it's hot. It's fun for the kids. Instead of us just sitting there barking and saying, hey, crawl in the smoke, you actually get to kind of do a little bit of community relation and teach these kids something. So
They cleaned it up, made it, you know, you could live in it, basically.
It's pretty nice. We got it on the cheap.
You know, got it all pretty layering and with the department and so forth. So I just wanted to say, I thought you guys did a great job on getting that thing up and ready for sure.
You did a good job packing that thing. Yep.
Hey, thanks.
But everybody will get a chance to see it.
Any other questions?
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, that goes to number 14.
John?
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion that we put home rule on the ballot for November for 2017.
Okay, hold on. Home rule on the ballot.
For 2017?
2017. For November.
Correct.
Thank you.
November, yeah.
Yes, sir. You ask them for a second. Let them have a discussion if they have a discussion.
Yeah, I wanted to
wait for a second.
Go
ahead. I didn't know if you had a discussion or...
I know. We're running short on time. I know Ari said that he would try to help support it and everything. As you heard there a while ago, the cost on that for just us to put it on the ballot is $3,300+. So maybe we get a few commitments. We'll help campaign, try to get that thing.
Educate people for what it is.
Educate them for what it is and everything. I'd like to get some kind of little plan set up, because if we just go out there throwing a bunch of paper around, nobody's going to even, it'll just do what it did before, just fizzle, nothing. So maybe we could get
a little
meeting together.
Several of the block watches
exactly
is interested in helping,
right,
and be able to get exactly what it is. And
point being, John, I'm all in favor of it.
It's going to take work. That's what
it
comes
down to.
If we
can get a little commitment, I'll help what I can, and whoever else that would be willing to help. It's not going to pass if people don't know what it is, simply. So, having said that, I'll second it.
You're right, Ralph. Seconded.
Folks will help with it, okay?
And then he seconded it. Yeah. And then you write the vote.
John?
Yes.
Don?
No.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
Second, I'd like to make a motion that we purchase not to exceed $850 for a laptop for the office.
Didn't we just have one in there?
I'm sorry?
Didn't we just have one in there?
It got broken.
Motion to purchase a new laptop.
Not to exceed $850.
Not to. Okay. Yeah. Very good.
I spoke with Mr. Rogers and Jessica as well, and they seem to feel that the model they had in there would meet the needs for.
Right. Yeah, that's the first thing. Mr. Rogers was glad he was here because with his input, to be able to make sure that we have it with the right software was important.
And he says it's adaptable to everything that we have, so, you know.
HP.
So I would second that, yes.
Second? So Ralph seconded. Then you.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Second is we have the Juanita Kaufman Award. We have two.
We've got two nominations.
Still fun.
Oh, I understand.
We have two nominations.
But I was going to bring it up.
That was all the way up here.
It was not on yours either. Doesn't make any difference. We have two nominations. One of them is an employee. Employees are not eligible.
That's not true.
Well, yes, it is.
We have.
Robin, you've heard us talk about the Juanita Kaufman Award. Employees are never eligible, right?
And that's what I was told.
That's right. Employees are.
We have a person that was Jessica Rice that is helping out and filling in part time. She was nominated prior to ever being asked if she would like to fill in here. There is no law or there's no protocol that stops her from being to be eligible. Where she was eligible, and this doesn't even mean that she's going to win it, but there is no law or any that keeps her from not being eligible. When someone nominated her, there was no reason for, she was no application in here, there was no employment. This was in regards to her service that she's done in the community throughout the last year that someone nominated her. Just because we hired her five days ago, doesn't mean that she's not eligible. She is a resident, and there's no law that says that. So the board is the one that would set that, not we don't do that. It's the board's decision. So what I suggest, I would make a motion that by next meeting, the board would make its decision on who they would like, collectively look at it and announce the winner.
We can't change the rules every year when somebody turns in a nomination.
There's no rules being changed.
Employees are not eligible to get an award.
There's a motion on
the floor. And I'm not the only one that says this. Rob will sit back here and tell you the same thing. This has been an ongoing rule forever.
That's what I've always heard the board say, John. Do I know it's in paper or
board right,
somewhere?
That's what I'm saying.
They also nominated Tim Guyton one time. Ed Seeger
Tim
was.
Guyton, as he said, Tim Guyton was nominated.
And he
was very legal. He graciously said, I'm going to not take it. And it wasn't because he was an employee.
So
he said that he serves the people because he's being paid to do that. Mm-hmm. And he was being nominated because of his work and service. And he graciously said that he wasn't going to.
To look.
To say that someone doesn't qualify immediately because they came in and helped out. Unless you can show me a resolution or a protocol.
Well, yeah, I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying what I've
heard. There is none.
You asked me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me do it this way. Ms. Kaufman, would you like to have a... I mean, this was named after you. If I'm off base, I mean, because I respect your... Your so word?
I think whoever's nominated should be considered.
That's all I'm saying.
In the township.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You ask for a second.
Second?
There's no motion on
that. He said a motion for the board to look at the two nominations to make a decision by next meeting of who is going to be the winner.
So is there a second?
Second? Anyone?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the original rules were.
I don't even know
if they're written. And was there something in writing, Robin? Have you ever seen anything? I haven't.
I think there was written rules when you were back, when you wrote rules up.
Right, I don't know whatever happened. I submitted them to the previous board or two.
Did you?
And you guys approved something that was submitted in.
Right.
And we made language around what was acceptable, what wasn't. because I just volunteered to put it together for you guys to approve. It was a different board.
Right.
I just don't know where it went.
Now, Jessica had worked here all last year, and someone nominated her. Totally understand that.
Yes, and I think she's a very worthy candidate, for sure.
Well, yeah, but to say someone's not a candidate because of that.
I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying we've set a rule that employees are not eligible.
Unless you can show the board the rule, then that rule doesn't exist.
So your motion on the floor right now is to consider it and vote on it?
Well, it's not to consider it because you can't not consider it unless you can show me a ruling.
Right.
So the motion on the floor is that we look at these two and collectively, and then next meeting, you put a star by the one you want, line it up, and vote.
And select one of them. Okay.
So regardless of the role, you still have to pick a winner.
So next meeting, each of us have a copy of it.
We
can take it with us. We can vote on it ourselves, bring it in. Our winner go in a pile, and whoever has the most wins.
And then they make a motion.
What is
that
the date
this
of the next meeting?
Won.
The next
and
meeting
then you guys
is going to be the.
I know you're learning.
Okay.
So it'll be on the July 22nd.
I can email you. I still have the documents because I have a little file.
Well, if you have it.
For anything I volunteer to do, I've always retained the documents.
Oh, have you? Okay.
You guys, I can send
I mean, if you have it, then yes.
Yeah,
and then you guys can review it.
We still have a motion on the floor to make the decision.
Yeah, and you can
if that outweighs that
gotta
decision.
You got to make the decision in 2 weeks, one way or the other.
Right.
I can email it to each of you so you'll have it.
That would be helpful.
Right.
Fair enough. And then.
And I'll second John's motion to wait till, consider it and wait till the next.
Well, what we're doing is we're voting to pick the winner. Now, if she comes up with something that trumps the fact that the rules say X,
well,
Y, and Z, then it's an automatic winner.
Yeah, you want to vote tonight?
Yes. I have a motion on the floor.
We're not voting on these here tonight. That's what Ralph thinks you're doing.
No, we've got a motion on the floor that we're going to pick a winner by next week. We have two different nominees. If Robin comes back with something and rules and regulations that she has that shows, then it's an automatic winner. We don't have to vote.
But the action
today on the table right now is that we agree that we're going to have a winner next week. In 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah.
And you second it. And so now call for
all along.
So call your
okay.
vote.
Yeah, I've got to that.
John.
Yes.
Don.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then lastly, I'd like to make a motion that we realign the board.
Motion to realign the board.
That was for a second.
Can you explain?
I have to open up.
Not as active. Just basically, you have to ask for a second, go to a vote, and do the whole thing you do in January.
Right.
And
okay.
Is it legal to do it?
Yes, it
is. Well, you were recalled and asked.
Yes, I did.
I need a second, please.
Excuse me, I'll second that.
And then you call for a vote.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so then I take over. I'm opening up. Do you want the whole thing?
Just like you normally do.
Okay. I'm opening the nominations for the chair.
I'd like to nominate Ralph Horn for chair.
John Fleshman nominated Ralph Horn. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Ralph Horn has been nominated to take over the chairman of the board.
For the rest of 2017.
For the rest.
Does he accept?
Hold on, please. For the rest of 2017. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ralph has seconded it. John?
Yes.
Don?
No.
Ralph?
Yes.
For the remainder of 2017, Ralph Horn will be taking over the chairman of the board. Okay. Is there going to be a change in
still the... Do it just like you normally do.
Okay. I open the nominations for vice chair. For the rest
of 2017.
Of 2017.
Yeah, I'd nominate John Flashman for vice chair.
Ralph Horn has nominated John Fleshman. Is there any other nominations? Okay, with no other nominations, I need a second.
I'll second that.
So John Flesh, I need a vote. John?
You need a second. Did you get a second?
Yeah.
You seconded.
Okay.
You seconded, okay. Sir. So John?
Yes.
Don?
No.
Ralph?
Yes.
So our vice chairman for the rest of 2017 is John Fleshman. Thank you, gentlemen.
I had a question on some bills and some of them were yours. There was a bill for Vance's. Is that for ammunition?
Please.
305, is that for ammunition?
No. I didn't see a bill for Vance's.
There's a bill for Vance's shooters, $305.
Oh, did you grab it out of?
It was in there.
Oh.
Oh, Lisa.
Huh?
That's the one from in there.
But it says taser cartridges.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. I didn't find it, but.
Dawson. Are we still paying Dawson?
Yes.
They sent the bill late. And Melissa just gave that to me before her term. And so I paid it, and that's the balance. I did call to verify it, and they said yes.
As long as it's
yes,
not
sir.
Continuing.
No, sir. No, stop. She's no longer with Dawson.
Yeah, and Dawson is now paid in full.
Yes, sir.
A late contribution for police and fire? Was that just late?
One day.
Okay.
And it was due to the
government
holiday.
Obligation contract.
$50.
Government obligation contract, late, $428.
They claim that the check was cut on this date. They claim they didn't get it until the 19th, which made it late. And this says that it's within it. They're making me.
I thought it was on the date that the check was written.
They told me that this contract has no, like how you have a grace period with your car, you got 15 days. This particular company does not have that.
That's why I asked Jim about this one. He probably already gone, maybe not. There was a lot of landfill. To a landfill, that's a lot of trips.
Sir, I don't know. That would definitely have to Jim Stevens.
I don't think Jim.
He just came down.
You want to hold that to ask him and then just put it in my mailbox? And
Jim Stevens is in Byron's office.
Jim Stevens? He's coming.
There's one from Sam's Club.
Yes, that one.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying here it says Classic Roast.
I don't know what that is. Classic Roast, is that coffee?
Melissa put in that order, and when we found it,
she said she was going to break it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's a roast?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, is that a roast to me? Is meat for me?
No. That was, she had
the coffee blend.
Stuff for the
when people
thing.
When people
no,
come to
meat,
have a
no,
meeting.
It was a coffee
roast.
Blend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Oh, no, we didn't buy no roast.
In Colombian
SS cups?
That's the cups
for the hot coffee, styrofoam hot coffee.
Just coffee and
it's a coffee in the cups from the
Barker Lounge. The Barker Lounger.
I don't know what that means.
Byron.
What's the name of it?
Byron had to get a new chair because it's broke.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Hey Jim.
Hold on a second, Tom.
And an annual bill for the GFF contracted services. That's a government building. We pay a yearly fee to belong to that.
DASC? Yes, sir. And it's $100 every year.
I didn't realize it.
Yes, sir. That's for all of you, and they have a list of all of the trustees. And Jim, he's asking me about the DASC.
Where'd all that dirt come from? Landfill.
That would have been.
Gentlemen, if we
started,
where did we get all that from?
Was that from all the houses being torn down?
Well, we'll get to that because I was going to finish this up. I didn't want to hold you up.
They're going over there. That is
an open meeting, John.
Dirt.
Yes, John, that is. That's from all the dirt that we hauled out.
Oh, from the.
From the. Yeah.
Any
questions, Ralph?
So is this all right too, sir?
I don't know that nobody understands what exactly, but as a member of the township, I have a reason to know as to why there's a request for a realignment of the board. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anything. I'm just saying that to me, and I don't know that anybody else thought of it. As a member of township, I feel we have the right to know as to why there's a request for a realignment of the board. And what the reason behind it is because there was no discussion given between any three of you when that motion was brought.
Absolutely. I'm the one to call it. Absolutely. It was for the betterment of the board. There has been deceived and lied to by Mr. Cook to this audience last meeting when they brought up the letter that needed to be signed that I asked the insurance company gentleman to read. The question was asked to Mr. Cook at that time was, did you seek guidance from the attorney's office? He said, yes. Mike even said, wait a minute, did you seek advisement. I talked to the attorney today, and they said he'd be more than willing to send me a email stating that they did not see nor talk to them in regards to the article that needed to be signed, that needed to be signed by midnight, and it was 7 o'clock when we were here for the meeting. The other reason is theft in office was because the signs that had been posted for general meeting, Mr. Cook was on camera stealing taking the sign down just before the general meeting, and what he did with it, I don't know. Thirdly, he has asked our police chief to go out and take a sign down for the last executive meeting, and he had to inform him the board consists of, the board is three, but when two trustees agree to put that up, you can't order somebody to go out and take that sign down. Now, I don't know if I outlived or if that was pretty, was that
pretty? It was more of, you need to tell John and Ralph they can't have this meeting.
Because we need to sit down and discuss this.
But I don't have
Am I right? I said, we need to sit down and discuss this.
But I don't have the authority to do that.
Right. No. First of all, the meeting, he was talking about the insurance. I never said I talked to an attorney. We'll go back and get the tape and record that. Ralph is the one that said he talked to Pete Reese.
I asked the question, as you said, and I thought I got an affirmative, but I cannot say that he. I'm assuming it came from him, but I know that I did ask the question, and if you remember, my answer was, why would you go back to an attorney who has given you bad advice in the past?
And if Ralph will admit it, he will tell you that he talked to Pete Briggs, and he is the one. Here's the bill from up there. And I can show you where Ralph talked to the attorney. You won't find my name on here anyplace about talking about insurance. I did not ask the question. Ralph did.
I can't dispute that. Like I said, I did.
John sat there and said he doesn't have any information on it, and he had not been informed prior to it. Here's an email, May the 30th, 30 days before the last meeting. He had information on the withdrawal letter. Okay, here it is, and it is from Jim Welsh. Forwarded this to us because he's the first one. He gets all the information. It's all right here. Here was a withdrawal letter. Everything is right here. Came on the 30th of May. And he said he didn't have notice. That's 30 days ahead.
And as I said that day, I opened up my briefcase here, or my satchel, whatever you want to call it, and pulled out, said I've got every email pertaining to that. It was not on the agenda that we were to vote on that. It was just pulled straight out and immediately going to a vote. It was not brought up. It was not on the agenda. And the other thing is, Mr. Cook, it takes two trustees to cancel a meeting. He canceled the insurance meeting for all of us, all the department heads. That would have been 2 days before, 2 days, I think. Anyway, it would have been prior to that week. So then we had to have the meeting afterwards, which he explained to us, and yes, it did benefit us to sign it. But that information would have been pertinent for us. There was no reason to cancel that meeting, and you can't act on your own to cancel a meeting. It takes two trustees to have a meeting. It takes two trustees to cancel a meeting.
Now, if anyone wants to look at it, I will show you the emails that I asked to post a meeting for that day. Didn't get any emails back from anybody. The next morning, I emailed and said, if I don't get any answers, emails back by 9 o'clock today, meeting will not be posted. They come in here and start hollering about the meeting. Melissa, at that time, told them I didn't post the meeting because I never got any response back from anybody to post the meeting.
Actually, the meeting went...
If you post the meeting...
Not to interrupt.
Not that one.
Well,
no, that
this
meeting
is the insurance meeting we're talking about, right?
Not the first one.
Yeah, the first insurance meeting.
First insurance meeting, Melissa didn't post.
It was posted on the door, and I talked to her. She said she got a second.
They were all posted.
No, I can.
I never got an email.
I can show you
an
email.
I got a call asking about that.
Go ahead.
If this realignment of the board is over the insurance thing, why did you guys have any idea about this insurance thing prior to the last meeting at all, period?
As far as being going to a vote, no.
And as far as that letter, as far as
any... Then, no, nothing
and
about
I,
that.
I can also show you emails that they are calling meetings at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock during the day. They do not notify me that they have a meeting or even ask me if I am available for a meeting. They just post the meeting, and then the next day I find out about the meeting.
I'm not getting into it. He said, she said things.
If anyone wants to see the emails, I will show them.
The meeting, the insurance meeting, I pushed really hard to get us to get together as soon as I heard there was a change in the insurance thing. It took me well over a week fighting around, maneuvering to get a meeting established. And then we finally had the two of us, me and Mr. Flashman, finally voted to have the meeting. He did not show up. Was that the meeting he didn't show up, John, or not? And, you know, so...
I wasn't trying to cause it, but this is a meeting that John has wanted to be.
Okay, one at a time.
John has wanted to be the chairman for a long time, and this is a way of doing it.
Really? Well, I'm not allegations sure. about
rather
things.
Rather than keep this meeting to arguing, I don't think it is the majority to be out here to the public. If those two agree to whatever they want to do, they can do it.
Yeah.
I'm adjourning the meeting. I said I'm making a motion to adjourn the meeting.
And to continue, I am not the chair.
I understand that, but yeah, I was just asking for a general
reason. Right, and then lastly, just to talk about one thing, and then I will second the, I'll second this after this comment. As it was said, that he wasn't aware and et cetera, we took extra steps to make sure he's aware with our staff even calling him to let him know that there is a meeting posted.
Right.
So we've went above and beyond than just the emails. So with that, I will second for adjournment.
John?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
Well, he made the motion to adjourn, so it's already there.
If anybody would like to see the emails that's in question, I have them.